wrote a song this year, not long ago. It's called "What a Lovely Day to Serve Jesus," and I fairly got it memorized. If the Lord will just give the words back to me tonight, I'll do that one for you. Hope Sim didn't sing it here yet. Okay. What a lovely day to serve Jesus. What a lovely day to praise His name. When I am at work and when I am at play, it's still a lovely day to serve the Lord. Sometimes when my day is rough and dim, Jesus said that I could call on Him. He will make my day bright in every way. All I have to do is trust in Him. Oh, what a lovely day to serve Jesus. What a lovely day to praise His name. When I am at work, when I am at play, it's still a lovely day to serve the Lord. Jesus said that I could be His witness and tell the world about His saving grace. Go to everyone, even every race, because we'll stand with Jesus face to face. Oh, what a lovely day to serve Jesus. What a lovely day to praise His name. When I am at work and when I am at play, it's still a lovely day to serve the Lord. Jesus said He's coming back real soon. He will take us to our brand new home. He said, trust in Me and He will set you free. We can live with Him eternally. Oh, what a lovely day to serve Jesus. What a lovely day to praise His name. When I am at work, when I am at play, it's still a lovely day to serve the Lord. No matter where I've been, no matter where I'm at, no matter if it's good, no matter if it's bad, it's still a lovely day to serve the Lord.
Not even right, is it? Amen. We're not that far difference in age, amen. He's getting older all the time. So. Well, good to see everybody here tonight. Psalms chapter 78, go ahead and turn there. I don't know what I could preach here. Y'all have heard everything I know 10 times, so I stole a sermon from Brother Eberly before I came down here, amen. So he got it from Brother Howells, and that's where I got all mine from anyhow. So. Well, amen. Good to see you here tonight. Thank you for coming, and good to see all of our friends. That song is Joanne, isn't it? It really is. That just depicts her so well. 40 years. Amen. We were talking about it before, you know, back a while back, and asked her, where she'd like to go on for our vacation, for our 40th anniversary. And she thought of me, and she said, well, I'd like to go someplace I haven't been in a long time. So I suggested the kitchen. But it took a couple of weeks, and the swelling in my eye went down, though, but it turned out okay. Isn't that about the prettiest little baby you ever saw right there? Jerry Fugit, remember one day you and I was out. One Saturday, we was out driving around visiting for the bus. We saw two little old girls sitting on a porch over there near Barry and 35. I don't even know if you remember it or not, but Anytime we saw kids, we'd stop and talk to them. Went over and talked to them, lined them up to come to church. And later on, their mom came. I don't even remember their names, Joanne. What was it? Yeah, I don't remember. But anyhow, mom and them came, mom and the two girls, and they were shacked up, hooked up with some guy, and he was mean to them, and so they ended up having to leave, and so they came and lived with us. Remember that little old house there in those early days, Aunt Jenny? That just little old two-bedroom house, and just you could see the ground through the cracks in the floor and the walls. She stayed. We put a curtain up there in the living room, and they stayed with us a while. She had a friend. We'd been wanting another baby. And Joanne couldn't have any more kids. And so after she left, she told one of her friends about us. And they hooked Joanne and Gloria's mother up together. And Gloria's mom was going to have a baby. And she really didn't want it. She had several and wasn't able to take care of what she had. And told us that if we wanted that baby, we could have it. And so we stayed in contact with her, and Joanne was down there the day that Gloria was born. And she kind of changed her mind for a little bit and got her home and for, 2 months? And then called us up one Sunday night and said, if you want this baby, come and get it. So we picked up Gloria middle of the night. Nasty, dirty, wasn't being taken care of, it's pretty obvious. Took her mom up the north side and let her out. We carried her home. Joanne and her, she was so, the word I'd use is gun shy. I don't know what the word is, but she was so scared and afraid, just little infant there. Joanne really took her in and loved her and cleaned her up and made her our little baby. And, that was, 22 years ago now? And now she's got just, where would she be without the Lord? Where would she be? On the streets probably somewhere south side of Fort Worth, running around, doing all kinds of sin and wickedness. Here she is, servant God. I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. God's good. He is so good to us. Amen. And he's been good to us for 40 years now. Joanne and I have been married. And, if I'd have been her daddy, I wouldn't have let her marry me. And I think he probably didn't want to, but it was one of those things. I remember when I called him up, we were at Bible college, and I called him up, and I said, I don't know if I said brother or Mr. Jackson or what, or your highness or whatever, but I said to him, Joanne, I'd like to get married. We want to ask your permission. I'll never forget what he said. I don't know if Joanne heard it or not, but he said, it sounds to me like you're going to anyhow, and probably that's probably about right, but I didn't have any sense. I didn't know to ask permission right and do things right. I just didn't know. But thank God, he knew, and he's been good. And boy, we spent 20 of the best years of our life, our best 20 years here in Fort Worth, and no regrets, man. It was sweet and good. And every one of y'all that I know are a story, and even those I don't know, you're here because of the Fishers and the ministry of this church, and I praise God for you, and encourage us. Keep on serving God. Amen. I hope you guys stand up here one day and tell a similar story, and how good God's been to us. Amen. Psalms chapter 78. The Bible says in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from the children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and the strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Now jump down to verse 12. Just kind of move around here a little bit. It says, marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers. Amen. Now here's the psalmist talking and referring back to the great things that God had done in the past. He said, marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand up as a heap. Now, just take a second and think about that, the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. Now, that's after the 10 miracles that He did in Egypt. That's after all that God had done leading them to that point. And then He brings and parts that sea. He said He made the waters to stand up as a heap, and the nation of Israel, 3 million people. It wasn't, you know, just a little ham. I mean, a massive amount of people marched through that sea, and then Pharaoh's army came after them, and God took care of all their enemies, drowned them there in the Red Sea there. In verse 14, in the daytime also, He led them with a cloud, and the night with a light of fire. Wouldn't you like to saw that, Brother James? I mean, I've got a sermon. I've never preached it. I've wrote it and got it stuck away, but I've never preached it on the greatest leader in the Bible. Amen. Now, there's a lot of great leaders. David was a great leader. Moses was a great leader. But I think maybe the greatest leader in the Bible was God Himself in the form of this cloud. Amen. And I got so many things that I put together on that. One of these days I'll preach it. Verse 15, He clave the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink out of the great depth. Again, 3 million people. He gave them water out of a rock. Yeah, goodness. Of all things He could have got water from, He chose a rock. I think showing the might and the power of God and the impossibility without God. Then verse 16, He brought streams also out of the rock, and He caused waters to run down like rivers. Then jump over to verse 18. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And obviously, we know the answer to that, don't we? God can. Verse 20, behold, He smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? And then verse 40, look at that, and it says, how oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. We know that one of God's attributes is His omnipotence, the power of God. God can do anything. Amen? God can. Somebody praise God tonight. Say, God can do anything. Amen? There's nothing God can't do. Our God is a mighty God. We sing the little chorus. God is powerful. God is mighty. Yea, God is almighty. And that even being His name. But yet it says there in verse 41 that they limited the Holy One of Israel. I like old Rush Limbaugh. I think he's a nutcase, but I like listening to him every once in a while. But he'll use the phrase, with one hand tied behind my back, you know. And just the point, he said, I'm limiting myself by just using one hand. That doesn't take but about one iota of a thinking brain to outdo the liberals anyhow. But God says here that He was limited by three things that limit God. Number one is His Word. God will not go beyond His Word. God has limited Himself to this book and to the Word of God. Second thing, God limits Himself by His nature. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, God which cannot lie. Okay, so God limits Himself. God is holy. God is righteous. And those attributes will limit God. He'll not go beyond those attributes. And then the third thing, not only is God limited by his Word, and God's limited by His nature, but third thing, according to this verse, God's limited by His people. Amen? God is limited by His people. And we could see that, and I could preach a whole sermon on that tonight about how different ones. Israel obviously limited God when God wanted to do something, and they rebelled, and they turned their back on God over and over and over again. And God, I don't know if cannot is the right word, but he certainly did not and would not, because of their sin. Different kings through the scriptures limited God. When God wanted to build a mighty nation out of Israel, they, in their sin and in their rebellion, limited what God desired to do. And again, we could go over to the New Testament. I think Ananias and Sapphira limited God by not being obedient to God there. And on and on. And I dare say tonight that you and I limit God. Amen. And boy, think about that. Think about what a sin that is for God to want to do something and not be able to because of us. Amen. Who in here tonight? D, I bet you back in the back. Wake up. I'm sorry, I woke you up, didn't I? I apologize for that. I know D's about a halfway a knuckle buster back there. Isn't it terrible to want to fix something and have the knowledge to be able to fix it but not have the tools to fix it? Amen. And you take and you're trying to use a pair of pliers, or you're trying to beat something with the shoe or whatever, but you don't have. Well, hey, we're God's tools. We're God's instruments. And God has a work he wants to do, he desires to do here on this earth. And what a shame it is when that tool is not available. And God is limited by that. And I'm going to give you just a few things tonight that God cannot do. Amen? Now, if I were to ask you, we'd all say, God can do anything. But can he? But I think I'm going to give you a few things that I think God cannot do. Amen? I'm waiting on you to get your pencil and open the back of your Bible, them white pages, and say, boy, I need to know this. Amen? Say, Brother Mickey may be preaching heresy tonight. I don't know. But get ready, all right? Y'all know Miss Joanne. It'll drive her crazy. Hold that baby. She's still trying to take notes. Look at that. Amen. She knows all my sermons anyhow, so it don't matter to her. All right, things God cannot do. Brian, what you got? Your spit can under here? Amen. All right, got a spittoon up here. Look at this thing, man, alive. Amen. I guess that's better than a shot of liquor like he used to have. Amen. But he's improving now. Amen. He does. It's around here somewhere. Amen. He's talking about me being mean to him. You heard that, didn't you? Me being mean to him. Brian Fisher used to take that old bus we had, and that was a standard, standard transmission, and he'd drive down the road, and he'd get coming down. Brother Tom Carroll back here. Brother, good to see you. He'd come down Berry Street, had that long hill there coming up toward McCart. He'd come down there, and he'd get going. He'd turn the key off. Now, you have to be a little older to understand this, because you can't do that on these new cars. But used to be, the key had nothing to do with the steering wheel, amen? And so he'd turn that key off and get going down there a little bit, and then he'd reach over and turn that key back on. And when he did, that would backfire, boom, And I heard him doing that, and I said, Brian, you're going to blow the muffler off that. He said, Brother Mickey, I've been doing that for years. Ain't never blowed a muffler off. Yeah, cost us a muffler, amen. Me mean to you, huh? Amen. So, what things that God cannot do? Write this down. Number one, turn to James chapter 4 while you're writing there. Number one, God cannot answer unasked prayer. God cannot answer unasked prayer. James chapter 4 and verse 2. I think this may have used to been our theme verse in them early days over there at Baptist Temple. It said that you lust and have not, you kill, desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight in war yet. Here it is. Maybe we were so dumb or so immature that we couldn't remember a whole verse, but we remembered this part. You have not because you ask not. Amen? You have not, the Bible says, because you ask not. God cannot answer unasked prayer. Amen? And I wonder how many times that God wants to do something for us, but He's waiting for us to ask. And I don't know, maybe because of our lack of faith, maybe because of ignorance, maybe because of carnality or whatever, we don't ask God for things. Yet God is able, God is all-powerful, God is almighty, able to answer any prayer. There's nothing you can ask that's too big for God. Now there may be some things, verse 3 says, you ask and receive not, because you asked amiss, you cannot, that you may consume it on your own lust. Yes, there may be times when we ask for something that we don't need. And I've done that. All of us have. We've all done that. And Brother Jackson, my father-in-law, used to say God answers prayer four ways. He may say yes in answer to a prayer. He may say no in answer to a prayer. He may say later in answer to a prayer. Or he may say, you got to be kidding. Amen? How many of you have ever prayed a prayer like that? You know, where God says, you got to be kidding. You know, you're asking me for that. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because they're not God's best for us. And as a loving Heavenly Father, as a merciful and gracious and kind Heavenly Father, He may say no. He may say later. To our prayer. But I know one thing, you're not going to get an answered prayer unless you ask. Now, I'd challenge you this. Many times we go through our lives and you'll hear somebody get up here or somebody testify and they'll talk about this great prayer that they prayed and this great request and how God came through at the last minute. And I heard hundreds of those. Many of y'all have given those. And you're saying, boy, I wish God would give me some of those answers like that. Well, a couple of things. Sometimes you're not asking. Or sometimes, how about this? You don't write it down and don't even remember it. I pulled out here a while back. I was going through a file drawer and I pulled out one of my old prayer request books. And I'm looking through it. And I would always take, and whenever I got a prayer request answered, I'd circle it. Well, I pulled that thing out and I just looked at all the requests I had on there. And I just went through and started circling the ones. Now, this had been a couple of years later. And I started circling the ones that God had answered in that time. And it amazed me how many that God had answered. Amen? And I encourage you, when you pray, write it down and keep it there before you. And be able to testify. Joanne's got her little book. And we did this a long time ago. Some of y'all may remember it. We called it a blessing book. Amen? And I encourage people, when God blessed you, give it to us. Or write it in that book. And I've still got one that has probably some requests and things that God had done for some of y'all in here. But she's got a blessing book. Hey, that glorifies God. That praises God. That encourages us. Amen? You have not because you ask not. Amen? You have not, but maybe because you're not praying. Or the only time you pray is, God bless this food. Amen. And He looks like, from the shape of some of us, He certainly answered that prayer request. Amen. He's blessed it abundantly. Amen. Maybe we ought to ask some other requests beside that. I know life is hectic, and I know we're in a busy schedule. You get up and you run here and you run there. I know that. But I encourage you, take time to pray. Take time and spend time with the Lord and get you a prayer list and write down the answers and then go to work that day and say, hey, you ain't going to believe how God answered my prayer. I was in a financial bind and I prayed and God sent some money. Hey, give God the glory for it and praise Him. And it'll amaze you and amaze them how whenever they hear that. And they say, boy, I wish He'd do that for me. Well, have you prayed? The Bible says you have not because you have. Isn't it amazing? You guys go out soul winning. And I'm sure tomorrow night all of y'all will be out here and going out soul winning. I know you will. Amen. I'm sure. I mean, well, what kind of Christian would get God's salvation for them and then not want to turn around and tell somebody else about it? So I know all of you will be here tomorrow night. And so, Brother Russell, hadn't you ever talked to somebody and you begin to witness to them and ask them about their soul and they say something like, oh, I pray every day. Maybe they do. But I'm saved and I love the Lord and I want to do right. And it's hard for me to pray. It's a battle. Amen. Am I the only one? Maybe I'm the only backslidden one in here. Hey, it's a chore to get up. My flesh doesn't want to. The world doesn't want me to. The devil doesn't want me to. And it's a battle. I've got to schedule. I've got to work at it. And I've got to make time to get out and pray. And they're telling me, I mean, these people that don't even know how to be saved, that they're praying every day. Maybe again, maybe they are. I'm not calling them a liar. But I'm just saying, it's tough. Now, again, maybe they're praying, God bless us today, or watch out, God, don't let that happen to me. You know, I don't know, but I just know it's tough. You have not because you ask not. God cannot answer unasked prayer. Write it down. Pray it. Look at James 5 real quick. Let me just give you some thoughts here, and I'm going to move on. Look at verse 13 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 13. Any among you afflicted? What does it say do? Let him pray. Let him pray. Let him pray. Any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So what should we do? Any among you afflicted? Any of you have problems or troubles or difficulties or heartaches or burdens? Hey, what does God say do? Well, go down to the courthouse and do this, or go to the bank and do this. No, he said pray. Pray. Number one, pray. Before you do anything else, pray. Is any among you afflicted? If any of you got any kind of problem, let him pray. God help us if we don't. Amen. God help us. If we don't. We're Christians. Jesus is in our heart. The Holy Spirit is in us. God help us if we don't pray. Wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be awful to have a rich daddy? Amen. I mean, just everything you need. And you're over there in the corner somewhere, living in poverty, barely getting by. When your daddy's not, and all you have to do is ask him. Amen. I'm not saying God wants to make everybody rich and prosperous, but I'm just telling you, he'll take care of you. Amen. He'll take care of you. Listen, we've been doing this a long time, and I've talked to probably, I'd say, thousands of people over my ministry. And you know, those that serve God are blessed. And those that don't serve God have a curse on their life. Yeah, that's just the way it is. You say, well, don't judge. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you facts. Yes, amen. Yes, if you serve, that doesn't mean you never have problems, but I'm telling you what, whenever you get through that problem with God's help, you're glad you had the problem. The problem becomes a blessing. So number one, pray. Look at verse 15. He said, and the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Now, again, that's a whole sermon in itself, the prayer of faith. But faith in its simplicity is just believing that God can and will answer our prayer. Believing that He can and will. Now, the older I get and the longer I serve God, Aunt Jenny, the more convinced I am that God hears and answers prayer. I know He does. I know He does. I don't believe there's a prayer that goes out that God doesn't answer. Now again, it may not be according to the way you want it. It may be again, no, or later or something. But I'm telling you that God answers prayer, and we got to believe that. And I really think that maybe the reason most people don't pray is they don't really believe God wants to answer their prayer. We got to step up to the plate and by faith, just believe that our Heavenly Father hears us and wants to answer our prayer. Amen. Look at verse 16. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Confess your faults. Now, I know nobody in here has any faults, has any sins. But I'm going to tell you this just in case you run across somebody tomorrow, because I know you're taking good notes on this. Amen. Promises to answer prayer. We ought to pray. We ought to pray by faith. And we ought to pray in holiness. Pray in holiness. Now again, God knows that we're human, and God knows that we have sin and we stumble and fall and make mistakes. But God, I don't know as God says you got to be perfect before I answer your prayer. But I do think that God wants us to try to be perfect and to try to be as holy as we can. Amen? And try to deal with our faults and our sins and our iniquities as much as we can. God understands that. Amen? And God just wants us to give it our best. We need to pray in holiness. You know, in Isaiah chapter 59, he says, if we allow iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. So if we have known willful sin, then we're shutting the door and we're not going to get our prayers answered. But if we come in the morning, Aunt Jenny and Russell, I sent you that thing there, how I've started praying using the tabernacle. When I go in the door of the tabernacle in the morning, my prayer time, first thing is entered his courts with thanksgiving, his gates with praise. So first thing I do is praise and thank God. Then the very first thing right there in front of me is that altar. And that altar has to do with dealing with sin. They'd put that lamb on there, they'd kill that lamb as a picture of dealing with the sins of Israel. And so first thing I do when I come to prayer in the morning is I deal with my sins. Sometimes I don't get past that part, amen? But he said, confess your faults. He said, if we be an evil, no, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. So before I get into the holy place, before I get even close to the Holy of Holies to spend time with God, I've got to deal with my sins, amen? And boy, I am so glad that we have a God that has made provision to deal with our sins. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to die for my God. My God died for me and offers that as a means of forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. And then look at verse 16 and 17. It says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions we are, and he prayed how? Earnestly. He prayed earnestly, the effectual, fervent, earnest prayer. That word effectual, fervent there means to energize. It means to give your best to it. Oh God, help us today. God's looking for people that are serious about praying. Amen. We're never going to see revival in our churches unless we learn to be effectual, fervent prayers. Amen. God's looking for somebody that'll, excuse me, grab a hold of the horns of the altar and not let go until God answers their prayer. Amen. That's what the effectual, fervent. Jesus prayed until he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He's our pattern for praying. Amen. Elijah here prayed that it might not rain. Boy, I mean, you know, if I was praying for that, I think I'd get pretty earnest about that. Amen. Pray earnestly. I've said this before, and many of you have heard me say it. Most people don't learn to pray till they're in the back of an ambulance somewhere. Amen. We need to get earnest. So pray in faith, pray with holiness. Effectually, fervently pray. And then verse 17 again, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Pray specifically. Pray specifically. I mean, here again, I say this, I don't think you're praying effectively if you don't have a prayer list. Put it down and pray for it. Well, again, as a pastor, it grieves me. Somebody's got a prayer need, or we say, let's pray for this. Everybody says, sir. Hey, write it down. If you're like me, I'm not going to remember it till I get out the back door. It's gone. Soon as the preacher starts, that's gone. Now, if it's my baby, if it's something like that, yeah, I'll remember it. But if it's not, you're not, yep, I'll pray for you. Do you? Do you? Write it, pray specifically. And once in a while, somebody will say, preacher, pray for me. I said, what do you want me to pray? What do you want me to pray? Just God bless them. Well, goodness, that's so broad and so generic. What does that mean? God's probably up in heaven saying, bless them, what do you want me to do? Now, they're the prodigal son going away from God. You want me to bless them? Man, I need to knock them upside the head. That'd be better. Pray specifically and then look at verse 18. And I think this is a real key to seeing your prayers answered. He prayed again. What'd he say? And he prayed again. And you know what I think? I think he prayed again. And he prayed again. And he prayed again. And he prayed again. And he prayed again until God shut the heavens up. And he just kept on. Again, you have not because you ask not. Sometimes you have not because you only ask one time. Amen. We need that. Importunity. Remember that Bible word, importunity? It means over and over and over and go back again and back again until it's like that unjust judge said, lest she weary me by her continual coming. Now, you're not going to weary God. I think you're going to bless God. But at the same time, God, I believe, is telling us, don't give up. Just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. You have not because you ask not. God cannot answer an unasked prayer. And again, there's one thing that we ought to be known. There's one thing that Longview Baptist Church ought to be known for. You ought to be known for praying. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Most of the time, we got a house of drinking coffee and a house of playing basketball and a house of fellowshipping. When was the last time, Brother Fisher, that you came in here in the morning and somebody was already here on the altar praying? When was the last time maybe somebody, you got here and you saw somebody walking around the building praying for this church? Or walking up and down the neighborhood praying for their neighborhood? They ought to be able to say, that's a Christian right there. If you need a prayer answered, you go get them. Well, this church ought to be known for that. God cannot answer an unasked prayer. Let me go on. I'll give you a couple other things. I spent probably more time on that than anything else, but maybe that's the most important thing I'm going to talk about tonight. God cannot answer an unasked prayer. Secondly, thing that God can't do, God cannot forgive unconfessed sin. God cannot forgive unconfessed sin. He said, if we confess our sins. If. Now that word if means that I got a part in it. If I confess my. Now if the opposite is true. If I fail to confess my sins, God cannot forgive them. God does not just. The Catholic God that just kind of looks out over the world, or the universalist God, and says, oh, I love everybody, I forgive everybody. The Joel Osteen God that just says, I forgive everybody. That's not Bible. That's not Scripture. My Bible says, if we confess our sins. So as long as you, and that doesn't just mean, well, God forgive all my sins. Again, huh? Boy, I feel like I'm living in an old folks' home. I've got Joanne, she's deaf in one ear and can't hear out of the other. Got my father-in-law, and he's worse than her, and then I got my mother-in-law. So anything I say around our house, I get three huhs. Sure is a pretty day, isn't it? Huh? 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 You know, I had to repeat everything I say. Hey, I'm used to doing it because I preached to y'all so long. It took two or three times for y'all to get it. God says, huh? God, forgive all my sins? Boy, which ones? Amen. Hey, we ought to be diligent every day to get before God and to name our sins. Well, I can't think of any. Well, come talk to your preacher. He can probably think of two or three for you that you can confess. And if you can't, he can give you a couple of his for you to confess. But you can't. God cannot forgive unconfessed sin. Here's a fact. You will sin. You will sin. You will. Look at me. You will sin. All of us will. And sin separates us from God. Again, our iniquities have separated. God closes His ears to our prayers, and I believe, yea, shuts His eyes even to our life when we allow known sin in our life. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean God doesn't watch over you and take up. But you're limiting our God. Sin brings guilt and shame. We ought to be able to say amen right there, all of us. And sin results in defeat and loss of power. Hey, so if we're living a impotent, a no power or very little power Christian life, then maybe it's because we've not confessed our sins. That would be a good reason at the end of every sermon to run down to this altar and deal with those things. Well, bless God, God can hear me here.
Yeah, you prideful person, full of pride. You'll not walk down an aisle in front of your brothers and sisters and kneel at this altar. That, you need to confess your that sin.
Amen. We need to take advantage of the altar and the invitation time. All of us ought to. It results in death and, or rather, defeat and loss of power. But good news, sin can be forgiven. The good news is we can be cleansed, but it's going to take you and I asking for forgiveness. God cannot forgive unconfessed sin. God cannot answer unasked prayer. Number three, God cannot speak through an unread Bible. God cannot speak through an unread Bible. Brother Jackson used to stand up and say, "How many of you have a Bible? How many of you have a read Bible?" Amen. Of course, everybody say, "I've got a Bible. Have you ever read Bible?" Pull it out. He said, "Oh, you hadn't been reading your Bible, huh?" Amen. We all ought to have a read Bible. God's number one way of speaking to His people is through His Word. 80% of the will of God for all of our lives is in the pages of that book. Now, I say 80%, it's pretty much the same. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Those things are for everybody. And yeah, God can speak and He can direct us. You know, everybody wasn't supposed to marry Joanne Jackson. I was, you know. And so some things that God may veer off a little bit. But the majority of what God's going to say to us is in this book. And God wants to talk to you. We were in San Antonio. Joanne, we got up that morning. Joanne read her Bible. I think I read mine. I hope I read mine. But she comes to me and that morning she said, "You know what I read this morning?" And she, "Tell them the verse." You probably still remember it, don't you? She reads it so seldom. Whenever she does, it really sticks with her. Amen. No, I'm not. I'm teasing. You know that. That's good. She had to tell me that. Now you know where I'm going, don't you, Russell? You know where I'm going. So we're San Antonio downtown. We're walking down the street, and here's a guy sitting out there like this. Well, I walked by him. He said, "Can you give me some spare change?" I said, "Why don't you give me some spare change?" He said, "I don't have much." I said, "I don't have much." And I walked by him. And I got about 50 feet, and it was like the Holy Spirit just smacked the fire out of me, you know, and just said, "What did I tell you this morning?" Through Joanne. That's what I said. She had to tell me. If she had just kept it to herself, I wouldn't have had to give him any money. That was God talking. Amen. It's not always as dynamic as that, and you know, so blatant as that. Sometimes it's a little more subtle. Sometimes it's kind of like, you know, "What'd you have to eat last Thursday, Brother James?" "Well, I don't know, but it obviously did you some good." Amen. You're living. Well, I don't know every day, but I know the Word of God nourishes me. I know this: if I go for a period of not reading God's Word spiritually, I get weak. Spiritually, I get sick.
And I like getting in there, and I like God feeding me. And every once in a while, He'll give you one of those nuggets like that. And just it's exactly what you need for that day. Amen. But God cannot speak through an unread Bible. God's a personal God. God knows what the future holds. He knew that guy was going to be in our path that day. Amen. He may have known I would bring that illustration to you today because somebody may need to hear that this evening. He knew all that, and that's why He gave that to Miss Joanne, and she shared that with me that morning. God wants to direct our lives. God wants us to look to Him for guidance. God's way is the right way. God's way is the best way. God's way is the most enjoyable way. Somebody on our trip, it may have been a bellboy there at one of those motels we stayed at, said, we told him we're sharing our 40th anniversary, and he said, "What's the secret? What's the secret?" Well, I don't know as there is one secret. I'm scared of her is what it is. Amen. But I think I told him two things. I said, number one, we both love God with all of our hearts. And the closer we get to God, it makes us love each other more every day. Amen. And I think that's the truth. God wants good. We've had wonderful 40 years. Look at me. In every aspect of our marriage, we are happier, we're more fulfilled today than we've ever been. Amen. Let me tell you something. It's great. Amen. It's wonderful. Amen. I didn't hear you say amen, Joanne. I'm just waiting on that. Amen. I'm going to keep going until you say amen. Now, I don't care if the rest of these guys do, but it's good. God cannot speak through an unread Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. And I am for every area of our life. Every area. Amen. Get in the book. You young people, read, memorize, study. Just keep your nose in that book. Get all you can out of it. Number three. Let me go on. Number four. God cannot answer an unasked prayer. God cannot forgive unconfessed sin. God cannot speak to an unread Bible. And number four, God cannot save an untold sinner. God cannot save. Now, again, understand, take this in context here, but He does say, how shall they hear without a preacher? How they believe without hearing, how they hear without a preacher. Amen. Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to get the word to them. Now, it may be through a track or a radio, but somebody's got to tell them. Amen. We just moved Francis and Thomas Chavez Ada, Oklahoma. Brother Tom, you remember Francis? Remember Francis? Boy, back years ago. Years and years ago. Eons of time ago. Was down, what was that? Fairmont Street. Down there about Fairmont and Rosedale or one of those streets down there. Was out knocking doors one Thursday night. And Joanne just happened knocking at a bad part of town. Amen. But that's where we did the best. That's where most of y'all come from. But Joanne knocked on her door. And that Thursday night led her to Christ. Frances started coming. I think she's about like Dee and Regina back there. They are related to half the city. And they started bringing people and bringing people and bringing people and bringing people. And I don't know how many of her family got saved. And Frances did great. And she got backslidden. Got away from the Lord. Amen. Where are they all at? Shut up. Don't even get me started down that road. Amen. I got a whole sermon on that. Amen. But something happened. She met a guy, and I don't know if she led him to the Lord or they got saved. I think maybe Joe Vasquez led him to the Lord. She got one to get right, got back in church. He come, got saved, and surrendered their life to serve God. Went 3 years to Trinity Bible Baptist school over there in Arlington, a Spanish school, graduated, and they're up there with us now helping us get a Spanish department started. Amen. Hey, why? Because somebody told her. Somebody told her. Well, Bridget, you just don't understand. I'm just so shy. Oh, be quiet. Come on. We can all do it. Amen. If you can't do anything but knock on a door and put a track in their hand. Amen.
We can all do that. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. They're not going to get saved unless somebody tells them. Now, you can argue about that, and you can give me all these theological things and give me all this new modern junk going around out there, but I'm just here to tell you tonight, how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's not talking about from a pulpit. That's talking about you talking to your friends. That's talking about you knocking on the door. They've got to be told before they'll believe. Amen? They've got to be told. I just encourage you, ask God to place someone in your path. Let me tell you, a prayer God likes answering is that one right there. If God knows He can trust you to witness to Him, He'll run somebody across your path. I was out the other day, and I was going up a set of stairs to visit. There are more than one building in Ada that has more than one floor. Not many, but a couple over there. And I was going upstairs, and there's a guy sitting there smoking his cigarette early in the morning, and I think I went in and talked first, and I came back out, and he's still there. Well, he shouldn't have been there if he didn't want to get saved. Amen. But I stopped and shared the gospel with him. I probably sat there 30, 45 minutes sharing the gospel with him. And it's so good. There's nothing in the world better than that. Amen. That seeing somebody go from an unsaved person to a saved person, seeing somebody open their heart to Jesus Christ and make Him their Savior. That's the greatest thing in the world. Amen. And I sure beg you. I beg you for the sake of Jesus Christ, for your sake at the judgment seat of Christ, go out and tell somebody, because God cannot save an untold sinner. And then number five, you knew I was going to get here eventually, Brother Brian. God cannot bless ungiven money. Yeah, thank you, whoever said that. That one amen back there, like a lone ranger back there. God cannot, and I've got verses. I'm not even taking time to chase references here. God cannot bless ungiven money. You know, giving is not about the church getting your money. Giving is about you getting a blessing. Giving is about God wanting. He said, "Try me," said the Lord, "if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." Now, doesn't it make sense that God already's got that blessing? That God has them set up in reserve. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out. God already has them. The window is there, but it's up to us to open that window, and we do it by responding to God in our tithes and offerings. We're having our very first missions. We're not even calling a conference this year. It's only going to be one day, kind of a mini missions conference, but it's going to be one day called a World Missions Day. Got Brother Bob Bowen coming. Y'all know Brother Bowen. And one missionary, Zach Bruner. Amen. Has he been here? Zach Bruner. And then another missionary from Joshua Baptist down here. And they're going to be with us. We're going to kind of kick off. We've been trying to get them going. But we're going to kind of have a missions emphasis to try to get people to commit to give to missions. And I mean this with all my heart. It's not about getting their money. It's about them getting a blessing. It's about them allowing God to bless them. Don't you believe that God wants to bless us? But we hinder God. We shut that window, and some of you nail it down and put sticks in there and board it up by your stubbornness and by your rebellion and by your lack of trust to God and saying, "No, God, I'm not going to do it." And God says, "Okay. But you're the loser. It's not about us. It's about you getting the blessing." God cannot bless. Some of you have money in your wallet tonight that God wants to bless. But you let the plate go by and did not put it in tonight. You knew God wanted you to give it. You felt the tug of the Holy Ghost of God. But you sat on that and squeezed that money and would not give it. And God said, "Boy, if you only knew. If you only knew what I wanted to give you for that money, the blessing I wanted to give you." Amen. I can see right now some of you are a little uncomfortable, aren't you? Amen. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because He gets to bless us. Amen. I could tell you something. When I went to Ada, the church I'm at is a good church, Ada Baptist Temple. Brother Eberly's been there 31 years now, and done a great job. And many of you know him, but Brother Eberly has not been, and he'll tell you this, not been good with money. When I say not good with it, just the managing aspect of it. They've done great. They've had hundreds, thousands of people saved over the years. They've run buses. They've helped other churches. Done a great job. When I got there, it was almost zero balance in the checking account, almost zero balance in the mission account, and that 31 years, they'd never had a savings account, Brother Stone. Never. Well, we went down to open it up, and he said, this is the first time we've ever had one of these. Amen. And so we got in, and I, one thing I did, I took the money. And when I say I took the money, boy, woo! Man, I hope you didn't take that, buddy. Took it and run with it. Amen. I took over the management of the finances. Amen. Now I don't balance the books. We've got a lady that does that. I don't even count the offering. They've got a guy that's been doing that for 30 years. And I just left all that. All I did was took the checkbook and set up a budget and started managing it. Amen. Well, first thing I did was I started squeezing it. Y'all know I can do a good job with that, don't you? Amen. Started squeezing that thing. Done real good. Well, about last September, just like we did here. Aunt Jenny, I'll never forget Brother Leroy. How can you? Amen. We always had that meal, Ben's meal. Remember back in September? And I'd take y'all out and kind of give you a report of the financial condition of the church, and then we'd challenge you toward our faith offering down the road. Well, we were doing that one night. I'll never forget, we were over at that old Colonial Cafeteria on Barry. And we invite all the men. The church paid for their meals. We had a new guy that was new to the church. He was in line. And you know Brother Leroy, he wasn't a real outgoing, talkative person. But I heard this guy behind him say to somebody else, said, man, this is great. Get a free meal. Brother Leroy turned around, looked up at him. Brother Leroy had to look up at everybody. Turned around, looked up at him, said, this might just be the most expensive meal you ever eat. So we had our September meal and challenged the men. We didn't call it faith offer, we called it give it all. And I just encourage people, 1 week of the year, give your whole paycheck. Amen. Scared some of your members to death. Get the oxygen out, amen. We did it, didn't we? We did it. Y'all did it. You remember it. So I told him, I said, I'll just challenge you. Try God. Try. Check him out. See if God's able. See how big your God is. So we started. That was 10 weeks out. Talking about it. Testimonies. Oh, the last 4 weeks we taught on stewardship, just like we did here, or at Baptist Temple, just like we did. Amen. We got down to that last year. Our offerings up there, at that time, $2,500 to $3,000, somewhere right in that neighborhood a week. Well, that Sunday, when everything was said and done, the dust was all settled, we had $30,000 offering that day. And you know, more than the amount was, Joanne, tell me if I'm not telling the truth, was the spirit of the church. All of a sudden, they realized that God could be trusted. And God didn't let anybody starve to death. They started those next few weeks, started testifying how God blessed them, and God did this, and they got pay raises, and this money came in, and it just got the ball rolling. Well, right now, when I left, we've been spending some of that money, most of it. You know how I did here. I put most of it in savings and used it. But right now, we have about $35,000 between our savings account and our building fund. Okay, we take 10% of our offering, 5% in building, 5% in savings every week. And so we have about $35,000 there. Checking account, a little over $10,000. Missions account, about $8,000. I don't know how much that adds up to, but we have about $50,000 in our account. Why? Because people learned they can trust God. And I'll promise you, if you went through our church, there's dozens of people that'll tell you they're better off now than they were a year ago. And again, it's not any other reason other than they put God to the test and God blessed them. God cannot bless ungiven money. You're not tithing. That's the first thing y'all do. Then you ought to start giving to missions. If everybody in this church would just give a little bit to missions every week, I bet you could probably just double your mission just right now. And that'd get the gospel out. And that'd make Jesus happy. And I think he'd turn around and bless you even more for that. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for letting me be here tonight. Come on up here, Brother Brian. Let's all stand.